Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on a Hill, we're so grateful that you have tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and in other parts of the world to come and join us. Come and learn with us. And we are so grateful for God giving us so much information that, you know, we don't have to perish for lack of knowledge. And today we've got one of our favorite guests, Don Wildman, with us. Don, how are you?
I'm doing great, Diana. How's everybody in Alabama? You guys got a wonderful win in your primary, didn't you?
Oh, woo. Yes. Miss Barbara, what have you got to say about our win, Miss Barbara?
Well, I tell you what. We are still rejoicing and celebrating over the great win in Alabama when the people of Alabama rose up and spoke with one voice that we want our Judge Roy Moore restored to the Chief Justiceship of the Alabama Supreme Court, and that we support Rick Santorum wholeheartedly, and we support the values that he has, and we appreciate his stand for life, the sanctity of every human being, and his other good policies. So we are just so grateful to God for the great victory in Alabama.
Absolutely. I was thrilled for you guys when I saw the ticker tapes that evening that Judge Moore had won his primary. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, we got to visit with him on that night. Miss Barbara had, had this thing. We just got to go. We just have to go. So off we went on this journey, and it was such an amazing night because, you know, you could just see the weight of the world lifted off of Judge Moore. It's like, you know, God just, you know, gave him a pat on the back and said, you know, I know you have been suffering. I know you have persevered, and look what I'm going to do. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to behold the countenance of Judge Roy Moore. And we're so grateful. Really, it's about God's mercy. You know, that's really what won out that night, is God had mercy on us in Alabama. And we're still praying that, you know, he will have mercy on America, the rest of the country. But want to start off with a prayer. And so, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, start us off with a wise pudding.
Thank you so much. Before I pray, I want to share a quote from the Rhode Island Charter of 1683, Rhode Island being the state, well, the colony first, that was founded by Roger Williams, who was such a strong believer and defender of religious freedom, and he was a Puritan pastor. But this is the first sentence of the charter. It says, "We submit our person, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and most absolute laws of his given us in his holy word." Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all those who've gone before us and left us so much, Lord, to hang on to. I pray, Father, that more and more these treasures of wisdom will be uncovered and discovered, Lord, by this generation and future generations, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you desire us to love you with all our minds, as well as our souls and strength and spirit. But you tell us that we're to love you with all our minds and to develop what is there, what you have placed there, Father, for you have given us great capacity to learn, and we praise you for it, Father. You desire that we achieve great things with what you've given us, and as we trust in you and walk with you, your word tells us that you give us knowledge of witty inventions. And you say that in your word, Father. It's one of the promises as we abide in you and you abide in us, and you can have your way in us, Father. You love for your people, Lord, to discover the beauties and the glories of this earth that you have given us, Lord, and all the resources within it. And we praise you for it, Father. We pray that more and more, once again, Father, that your people will hunger for your word, hunger for your truth. And we pray, Father, that your truth will prevail and that it will be spoken from the rooftops, shouted from the rooftops, God, during this crucial hour where we have such need of your truth. I'm grateful to you, Father. We're so grateful that you are raising up your people, that your people are waking up. And, Lord, they are making their voices heard and they are getting active and involved in the life of our country, Father, that it would once again be a place of safety, a place of where you are honored and acknowledged, and that we would once again have policies, Father, that are in conformity to your word as we did at the beginning. We thank you now for this time that we have together on the radio show. Be with us, we pray. Be very present with us, we pray. And lead us and guide us, Lord, in the direction you would have us to go. And may you be glorified, Father, in our thoughts and in our words this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. We'll shout from the rooftops. Oh, goodness, what a privilege it is to be able to speak about God's goodness. And Don and Ms. Barbara, I was just thinking of all the bad things going on, you know, all the troubles, all the evil in this world that's fighting against good. And then I thought, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And I was asking God for a word, and I'm here looking at Daniel, where Daniel prays for his people. And there's Daniel, you know, in Babylon, where him and so many of the other Jews had been brought to that nation in bondage. And yet, you know, God's light shone through that man. And I believe, you know, throughout the history, when we talk about the Magi, the three kings, you know, the birth of Jesus, I wonder if one of those Magi's came, you know, from the, really because of the teachings that was left from Daniel's day, Daniel's time. And, but it's just really, you know, wonderful. There's nothing new under the sun. And yes, there is evil out there, but God is mighty.
And so I, you know, I've got hope. And Dawn, when you came on, reminding me of God's great news, the blessing that just happened here in one state alone. You know, that there is encouragement out there.
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of things to feel very hopeful for. And I was talking to a nice gentleman that's a friend of my husband's, a co-worker, last night. First time I've met him after all the years that my husband's worked with him, because this gentleman lives in Georgia. So when he comes out here on business, I've never had the opportunity to meet him. But I was telling him last night, because he feels very hopeless and very much as if the tide has turned so far the other way that there's no coming back from it. And I said, you know, I guess the beauty of what I get to do and the privilege of what I get to do is every day I see and hear things that do nothing but lift up everything we're all doing and makes me feel very hopeful. And I'll tell you, before the Tea Party, I was not the most optimistic person. I mean, my family's, you know, Irish Catholic. I think it's built into your DNA to be a pessimist and a cynic. But I have always felt very hopeful of everything that we all do. This everything that's happening in the country now, all the good that is happening, is a little bit, I liken it to the tent revivals you saw during the Depression. When the country had fallen so far and people had fallen so far financially and lost everything, the last thing they were clinging to was their faith. Now, we all know, you know, we should be clinging to our faith no matter what's going on. God wants you to prosper, so be definitely clinging onto your faith while you're prospering. But people don't. I mean, it's human nature to get caught up in what we do, our everyday lives. And, you know, most people only turn to God and pray when something's going wrong. But I really see so much positive that's happening that I can't believe that God has awoken all of us and are bringing us down a path for anything but prosperity. So even with all the ugliness that is going on and all the things that daily feel like one more, you know, assault against us as Americans, I still have such great hope. I don't know any other way to be. I mean, God just keeps showing me that, you know, there is so much hope out there, and all these people that are standing up and rising up and, you know, Judge Moore winning, you know, I got to tell you, that's one of those things that you got to say, wow, there's a bigger hand in this than even mine.
Wow. Yes, indeed.
Well, it's, you know, I know it's not as big as the rising of Israel, you know, and Israel becoming a nation, but it's almost like, you know, there was that moment in time when he lost his position, that there was a parting of the waves, I think, and you could tell which ones are really, you know, in love with the Lord and which ones may be just riding along. And but, yeah, I think it was a momentous occasion, Dawn. I want to say this. It's kind of funny what you said about, you know, the Irish. And my husband, I'm thinking, is that what's wrong with my husband?
And, you know, it's sort of funny. My whole family, we're a very typical, large Irish family on both sides of my family. My mother came from a very large, my grandmother had 18 children, God bless her. And my father has three brothers. And so, you know, I came from this large family that was very Irish. And I just always assumed that everybody was sort of like my family growing up, where, you know, everything was sort of doom and gloom, and you talked about whichever relative didn't show up for the family reunion, or you know, the only time you got together were weddings and funerals and wakes. It wasn't until I was an adult that I realized, wow, not everybody's sort of like this. Other people are actually optimistic, Dad. Other people actually think good things are going to happen. I've always convinced it's in the DNA of the Irish. You know, they're always having fight some tragedy.
Well, I'm laughing, but now I shouldn't say this, because my husband is a party by himself. With me and him, we've got a party at the house all the time. He's so funny. But I do see that pessimistic side, you know, where he's always worrying about this. But But like you said, Don, I think the Tea Party, and I feel it too, Ms. Barbara and me does, that, you know, there's changes because a lot of the Tea Partiers, as you have said, I think has heard a calling from the Lord to take a stand and let the truth come out. And I've got six things I listed down here that I wanted y'all to give me perspective, and I'll throw them out because you and Ms. Barbara can touch on different things because there's so many things. One, I wanted to get y'all's perspective on the Romney Etch-A-Sketch. Two, I'd like to get your perspective on PepsiCo, Kraft, and all those other companies that is really using that embryonic stem cell research in their products. And then, of course, the Acorn. You know, with this election coming, I wanted to throw that because we really need to know that Acorn has changed names. They're not gone. So, but anyway, who wants to handle what first? How about you, Don? Which one of those three things you want to touch on first?
You know, the Pepsi thing just floored me. When you put up that link on my Facebook page, I immediately went to the article. And first of all, I was just grossed out. For those that aren't aware of what's going on with Pepsi, Pepsi has decided in their infinite, I don't even know if this is just plain old stupidity. I have not figured this one out. But they're working with another organization that it is so weird and gross to even say this, but they're evidently using cells from aborted fetuses, from the livers, to test the flavor-enhancing qualities of these cells. So, and they're doing this under the auspices of creating a new Pepsi product. I can't even begin to say how totally gross this was. No offense to Pepsi, but I will probably never drink another Pepsi product because all I keep thinking is, in what God's green earth did you ever think, where is it that you said, wow, this seems like a really awesome opportunity to have a better product? Are you really kidding? And here's the worst part, folks. The SEC, under President Obama's watch, says that Pepsi doesn't even have to reach out to their shareholders and get a yay or nay from them. This is considered ordinary business operations. I was so completely just blown away by that. I just... and it made me think about an article I had just recently read about genetic testing. And there's so many things with all this new technology that's coming out that the law hasn't really caught up with the technology. And your body can be used in ways that you never would have ever conceived of. So, you know, that just finding out that the BRCA gene that was discovered as, you know, with women who have a high propensity for breast or ovarian cancer, they had figured out there was this genetic correlation, the BRCA gene, and women who had had family and stuff who had gotten cancer. And so you can actually be tested to see if you have the BRCA gene. Women, we tend to be far more aware of this because it's our bodies that are, we think about this stuff far more, I'm sure, even than men do. So they have this BRCA gene. You can be tested for this BRCA gene. There have been women who have found out, especially with their family histories, that they had a high propensity for, you know, getting breast cancer, and some have even had prophylactic mastectomies and stuff so that they get rid of that whole, problem going in, being very proactive about it. But here's the thing that I did not know. So the company that figured out, you know, what this BRCA gene was and how to isolate it, how to test for it, actually took a patent out on it. So anytime you get tested, they get money for it. And the problem is now is that as this is happening in research, doctors can actually take your tissue, your cells, put a patent on it, and thereby get either diminishing the access to it by other researchers, or collecting a pretty good sum of money every time you get tested. So it raises the testing fee because these people want to make their money back. It's under their idea of research and development. And I was just floored by this. By between that and the Pepsi thing, all I kept thinking was, you know, that is just the most insane sort of science fiction. I cannot be the only person that's concerned about this. I know.
You're not. And as a matter of fact, I saw one now, Dawn, yesterday, that Pepsi is scrambling and they're trying to deny any relation, I think, to that company that was doing the testing. So they're starting to get to feel the heat, and I think there's going to be more. I mean, even Kraft, I think, is being questioned about this. So, I'm, you know, thank God that somebody brought it to the forefront, and now we're having this conversation because, of course, they would that we all be moderate so that we all not care, you know, because we have no longer any value or hold anything sacred.
This is your DNA. So your DNA or the DNAs of the unborn here that are being used, this goes back to the liberal argument also that, you know, oh, we're using those stem cells for research for disease curing. Really? So is my new Pepsi Next bottle of Pepsi going to be able to cure cancer? Because frankly, you know, I'm having a hard time with you guys using these cells as flavor enhancing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, I think the more young people see this, oh my gosh, I think Pepsi is going to get a hit. Well, Ms. Barbara, do you want to comment about that, or would you like to respond to the other two things, which is about the Etch-a-Sketch and I think Acorn?
Well, I think Pepsi is doomed and should be doomed and never to rise again. This is such a heinous act and a heinous policy. And, you know, I'm thinking, where do they obtain the livers from aborted babies? Do they purchase the baby livers by the pound from the abortion mills, or do they purchase each baby's liver individually? Or, you know, just how does this work? I know that baby parts are purchased for various reasons by people, but this I think we need to find out about this, the process for obtaining these cells from the aborted babies' livers. And, you know, it is cannibalism, and, you know, Patriot Pastor Lear spoke about this, and how in China aborted babies are eaten. They are considered delicacies. And in China, they abort babies, as they do here in the United States, up till term. And then I believe if they still have the one-child policy, so, you know, they're not allowed to have more than one child, and so the others are put to death. But, you know, it also kind of reminds me of Columbus, and when he came to the New World, he and the Spaniards were shocked and stunned and repulsed. They were by the Aztec culture, by what Columbus referred to as the monstrosities, the abominations. But he called them the monstrosities, and it was threefold. They were repulsed by the homosexuality, the blatant homosexual acts that were going on in the Aztec culture, the human sacrifice, where they cut out the hearts of living people by the hundreds of thousands. They attacked other tribes and brought them for their young, particularly their young women and men for those human sacrifices. And the last was cannibalism. The altars were strewn with half-eaten body parts and blood and the stench. The Spaniards would vomit. It was so horrible, so horrid, and so putrid. And so, you know, of course, as I was talking about with Pastor, now in the textbooks in public schools in our country, they teach that the Aztec culture is just as credible and valuable as any other culture. They don't go into that and teach about the monstrosities, the abomination, and how it was, and how the Spaniards brought the cross. They brought priests to teach the one true living God, and they attempted in their own way to bring Christ to the heathen, and wrote about it as well. But anyway, this is what this reminds me of, and it is a total abomination. But you know, this is the result of allowing a culture to decay so far that it does not acknowledge the authority of God. Because some person said once a long time ago, if there is no God, all things are permissible. So this is based on the assumption, this policy is based on the assumption that there is no God.
And Ms. Barbara, I think, too, what Don had pointed out, you know, President Obama's Security and Exchange Commission, SEC, ruled this, you know, as just really ordinary business operation, you know, and the leadership of this nation is so important. That's why I also want to cover this Romney Etcher sketch, because
Can I just say one other thing that really made me mad about this, and then I'll let you go on.
Oh no, go right ahead.
The other thing that made me mad about this is that Pepsi's attorneys turned around and said that their shareholders shouldn't have any say in this because it was too complex a nature, and they could not make an informed judgment about this particular subject. So if I'm a shareholder of
Pepsi today, they're too dumb.
If I have Pepsi stock and you're going to treat me like an idiot, my butt's going to go to a product that thinks I'm a valued member of that team.
That's right. That's right.
And to their defense, I think I read that, you know, really they were trying to go against this. The stockholders were trying to go against this, and then there comes that lawyer, and then there comes the SEC ruling, Obama administration's SEC ruling. So, again, I think, you know, we're at that road where we're fixing to choose a leader. And I know a lot of people are saying, okay, you know, let's just give up. Let's just be nice to everybody. But I'm thinking, wait a second, we're not to the end yet. When the end comes, if I have to, like everybody said, you know, hold your nose and do what you have to. But until then, I'm thinking we have a chance. And I love what you've told us in the past, Don, which is don't act like you're on the defensive. Be on the offensive. Get the best thing. Get me out there. Because when you look at Romney's Etch-a-Sketch, it's kind of like a video of what you know is going to happen down the road. And I know some people have said, well, no, they're talking about resetting a campaign, but I'm thinking to myself, I think what that man was talking about was we're going to change how we play when fall gets here. We're going to reset. The things that we say we're for, at heart, we're really against, and, of course, we want the moderates to vote for us. So there goes our conservative mantra that we've been carrying on for a while now. We're just going to flip a coin.
Absolutely. I agree more.
Well, Ms. Barbara or Don, go ahead, Don, if you don't mind.
Oh, I was just going to say I couldn't agree with you more. I think this was exactly, you know, the one thing that we all learned very quickly after 2008 is that the candidate, Barack Obama, actually had the intention of doing everything he told you he was going to do. That was the unfortunate thing. People didn't believe him, I guess. They thought that it was all platitudes. Well, I think Mitt Romney's senior aide there was actually telling us exactly what they intend on doing. So when they get down the line and it's getting closer to November, they're going to switch it up again and waffle, and God only knows what they're going to actually be on board with and what they're not, because any given day something different comes out of this man's mouth, which is really sad. It's sad that, you know, he couldn't stand on his record or defend the record. He doesn't have nearly as much baggage as everybody else, having not been, you know, in Congress forever or a governor forever. So, you know, it's just so sad that everything's about deceiving the public, isn't it? We're just going to wipe that slate clean. So anything we told you right now, don't believe it, because in a few months we're going to change all that.
Wow. Well, I think it was a gift from God to let that come out, Ms. Barbara.
I think so, too. And you know, I don't know if it's going to change many minds, but it will change some. Then there are others that are going to stick to their guns no matter what and stick to the candidate who's going to morph into this Obama or you know. But the thing is, he advertises himself as lukewarm. He advertises himself as a middle of the road or a moderate, if you will, and as being acceptable to liberals after the primary. I mean, this is what he's being portrayed as by his own people. And you know, something else I've noticed is that I think his knowledge of the Founding Fathers and the principles of freedom that they espoused, and I think he is really lacks knowledge. It's not in his being. It's not in his gut. Anything he says about it is strained, and it comes across as awkward. He's not real comfortable with the Founding Fathers and the founding principles of America, the principles of freedom. He sticks with pretty much this canned speech and about the economy, and he doesn't go back to the roots of why the economy is the way it is, except as far as government regulations and spending and so forth, which it's deeper than that, and we know it. But he doesn't seem comfortable with going back to the principles and the roots and the foundation of our country. It's awkward for him, and, you know, I'm glad this came
Ms.
out.
Ms. Barbara?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara. I'm just going to say hello. I think this might be Luca that's joined us. Luca, is that you?
Yes, I think. I really hope you can hear me. Sorry about that.
Welcome.
I've been having a few technological problems. The microphone wasn't cooperating. The tablet computer was not working at all. So sorry about the delay. Now you know why I'm late. Sorry.
Well, Don, we're really grateful, because Luca is really supposed to be just relaxing this week, but instead we've got him coming back on. And I'm sorry, Luca, for all that problem you're having. But as always, you know, we're grateful to have you on. And I know Don wants to say hello to you.
Hi, Luca. How are you?
I'm pretty fine, thank you.
Good. Hanging in there?
Yeah, we're trying. Awfully busy as usual, even if I'm on vacation. But you know how it is. Tea party business never ends. So you always have to keep it pushing, keep it going. No vacation for that.
Absolutely. I'm in the same boat, so I understand completely.
Well,
yeah, you know,
Barbara, do you mind?
You,
oh, I'm sorry, look at Ms. Barbara, I know I cut you off in the middle there. But do you mind, Ms. Barbara, if I let Luca go ahead and tell us some of the things that's going on? I know we didn't get to finish yesterday, and like to go ahead and let Luca tell us about some of the other Tea Party concerns, because now, Don, he is really the spokesperson for World Tea Party.
That's what I understand. It's not a big enough job that if you do Italy, you're going to do the whole world now, Luca.
I'm not the spokesperson of anything. I'm just a concerned citizen that is trying to make it happen. And apparently it will happen. Because it was supposed to be just one day, April the 14th. But actually right now we've extended that. So it's going to be from the 14th to the 17th. because we know that in the U.S. for tax day, the Tea Party groups are going to have events for the whole weekend. So we just said, okay, why not? We'll have a whole weekend of events all around the world. And for the time being, around now, we have 6 countries on board. Probably more countries are going to come aboard later. And it's growing. It's growing. It's an idea that started from the guys of the Tokyo Tea Party in Japan. And they said, why don't we have a worldwide tea party? And we said, yeah, great. Okay, we'll just do it. We'll just make it happen. And then we just went around the world and tried to put other people on board. Australia was the first one to say, we agree. Then Argentina said, okay, great, we'll do something like that. And then the newcomers, the Polish Tea Party, they was around since 6 months or something. They said, okay, great, we are on board. And then guys from Israel, and then probably Germany, and other groups around the world are very welcome to get on board. We'll have the same message, which is get your hands off our pockets, get our hands off our freedom, and let's go back to constitutional principles, and let's not try to reinvent the wheel, please, shall we? We know that this government bureaucratic approach to the economy doesn't work, so let's go back to capitalism and free market, shall we? Because we are pretty fed up with all your experimenting.
Well, we have some tea parties here that are taking a very interesting approach that it's not a new idea, but they are comparing what's happening in the U.S. to a Greek tragedy in more ways than one, obviously, but also some are comparing Obama to Caligula's reign. And I found that whole concept really extraordinarily interesting, because if you look at the two, you know, it could be the same person in a lot of ways. And so we have a tea party that's doing for their tax day on the 15th. They're going to dress up in Roman togas and you know,
wow,
play up the whole idea that...
I love it.
You know, yeah, because basically Rome is burning, you know, in a lot of ways. And, you know, if people don't understand, what is the saying? If you don't understand your own history, you're destined to repeat it.
That's right.
You know, why do we have to keep doing this over and over again?
That's
right. It is true. And actually, you have a lot of, you know, this kind of nonsensical humor coming from the Americas. But if you look at the European situation, things become really, really funny in a tragic way. Because if you look at Greece, if you look at Italy, you look at Spain and other countries, you're going to see that it's not. If America is burning, we're pretty much raised to the ground. So we are just there. There are just some ashes burning right now because the situation is so bad. But still, there are people who are just trying to act as if it's business as usual. And they're still there. Over the news in Italy in this past week, it's all been squabbling over labor rights, and because they wanted to just make a very small change to labor laws in order to make it slightly, very slightly more difficult to, more easy actually, to fire people. Because obviously, if entrepreneurs cannot fire people, if the economy is in a downturn, they're not going to hire them because they're saying, oh my God, I cannot hire someone for life. I don't know what is going to happen next week. So, of course, I'm not hiring. If you want to get the economy going, you need to have more freedom. So the Italian government, while it's raising taxes like crazy, decided to just put a little bit of, you know, freedom, giving a little bit of freedom back to the people. And they're fighting like crazy. Union guys are going ballistic, and they're saying, we'll have strike, we'll shut down the country. And we're just looking at them and saying, guys, the country is pretty down, shut down by itself. Because nothing is working, the economy is stopping. So, okay, if you want to add insult to injury, please come ahead, it's not a problem. You're going to make the situation worse. But they don't care. They don't. They just look at their own little, you know, square of privilege, and they are still working with their old backward mentality, and they're all, you know, they are always looking at, yeah, we are defending the workers' rights. You're just thinking to yourself, well, you're defending the very small minority of unionized workers. You're defending a 5% over the whole working force. And people still look at them as if they are representative of the whole working movement. But it's not like that. In the private sector, probably 5 to 10% of workers are unionized. In America, the situation is very similar. Unions are only powerful in the government sector. But in the private sector, unions don't exist anymore. But still, they're trying to dictate exactly what is happening. And they're always giving the wrong answer. And they're making things worse. It's sometimes it's funny because if you look at things from a serious point of view, you want to cry, you want to give up because they say, whatever, you know, what can you do against these kind of people? And still, you have to make people understand that these kind of solutions are actually part of the problem. So you really cannot still go back and think that defending some so-called rights of the workers will actually save their jobs, because if the company is not profitable, it will shut down, it will close down, and everyone will get fired. And unfortunately, they don't seem to understand that. It's stronger than them. They're still in their in their mindset. They cannot reason.
Well, and to take it one step further about unions, because I think most people agree with the feeling I have about unions, that there was a time in any country when one needed to protect workers. We wanted to make sure our six-year-old children weren't slaving away in a plant somewhere, a factory. And by the way, you can tell that unions have really helped that effectively around the world. Thank you very much, because that is still happening somewhere.
That's right.
But we have now in California, we actually passed a law that allows parents to go in, a majority of the parents to go in and basically take over the school. And the union doesn't like this. So now that the California Teachers Union, one of the largest unions in the state, special interest, is mad because you have parents actually doing the jobs that, instead of hiring teachers' assistants or whatever through the union, parents are doing the jobs of actually being very proactive in their children's education, which now is making the union say, great, we're going to have to unionize these parents now and make part of the union because they're taking away union jobs. I got to say, recently applying for unemployment in the state of California, the biggest thing I noticed was that if you are a part of a union, there is a whole special section of stuff for you. I know they're not getting biweekly calls from the unemployment office to see if they're looking for a job. I know people are parts of unions who have been unemployed for 3 years. And it's not because they can't find work. It's because they say, my union is going to find me a job. And the union obviously isn't finding them a job. And these are people who, by the way, are also turning down work because it doesn't pay as well as the union. So it's like there's this magic. I think people have to stop looking at unions that it's all about protecting the worker. What a union is now is part of the spoils of war. That's what unions are. Just like bureaucratic offices, just like the over 500 commissions in California, it's part of the spoils of war. If you win, that select few, those special interest people get money. And that's why they turn around and give you money back when you run to be elected again.
Yeah, that is the whole problem, unfortunately. That is the whole problem, but in a consider that we come from America's future, the really dystopian version of America's future, if nothing changes on November the 12th, on November the 6th. So we have things that are even worse, because government unions in America, they kind of control the government only if their candidates win. And if they don't win, their power is grossly diminished. And so they are not as dangerous anymore. So the people always has a choice, because they can always say, I will not vote for the guy that gets the money from the union. And that this is what, you know, freedom is all about. This is what democracy is all about. I don't really like the work what the unions are doing. I don't really like them when they have these lavish retreats where the money of the unionized worker go, because actually you've seen that in Illinois. And the whole Chicago thing, Illinois is pretty much broke. And so he was considering cutting down, obviously, a lot of unionized things. And the unions went ballistic, and they said, no, we can't lose any member, because otherwise the whole pension plan will go bankrupt. In fact, they were forced to sell a very lavish retreat with a golf course and a five-star hotel and everything. And the union of officers, officials, they went there to have their working retreats, which were pretty much, you know, vacations paid by the union members. And union members didn't know that because, it's part of the deal. And so that's where the money went. It didn't go to help people that were unjustly fired by, corporations or stuff. It did go to these fat cat bureaucrats that run pretty much the unions, and they like to treat themselves with free golf course and five-star meals and accommodation, everything paid by the workers. So it's all about that. And this is pretty much what is happening. In Europe, it's even worse, because it will change nothing if you choose the left-wing party or the right-wing party. If you choose the left-wing party, it will be worse, because obviously they are pretty much commanded by the unions. They are like puppets. But if you choose the right-wing party will never be bold enough to just go after the unions, because in the whole last 50 years, there was only one person that did attack the unions and was effective. And that was Baroness Margaret Thatcher. She did that, and she saved this country. She saved the United Kingdom, because the United Kingdom in the late 70s was pretty much a country that was only waiting to just, you know, bring the books to the court and say, fine, we're bankrupt. It was over. Nothing was working. People were working 3 days a week. There was no electricity. There was no nothing. The country was destroyed. There was nothing. You come here right now, and you think, yeah, it's working. Now things are working. It's not perfect, but it's working. Why? Because Margaret Thatcher, when she was in charge, decided to go after the unions. Unfortunately, it's pretty much like the Hydra, the mythological monster. They have 9, 10 heads. She managed to just cut a couple of heads, and they went down. They stayed down for a while, 10, 20 years, and then they are back in business. And they are destroying the country all over again. And now there will be time for another Margaret Thatcher. Unfortunately, we cannot see that over here. But this is a problem. This is actually the problem, because we need always to have a charismatic leader. We had President Reagan in the 80s. We had Margaret Thatcher in the 80s. And then nothing else. And this is a problem of the conservative movement, I think. Because the conservative movement is relying too much on charismatic leaders. And this is the problem. When you don't have them, what is happening is that you get business as usual guys that get into office, and business as usual guys, they tend to lie in bed with special interests of a different sort, and they tend to, you know, make the same mistakes. Just look at the past Republican administrations. They were better than Obama, obviously. Obama is making a complete disaster. But they were not pointing the nation in the right direction. They were still making mistakes. And this is why, because the conservative movement is relying too much on leaders. Luckily, the Tea Party movement is changing the narrative, because right now we're starting to realize bit by bit that we don't need this charismatic leader anymore. We need an army of people, an army of Davids, like Glenn Reynolds used to say, an army of Davids that will go there and they will fight. And I think that pretty much right now for the conservative revolution, those parents in California are the important ones, because they are taking back the schools. And they are concerned parents, and they are going there and they are doing their job at the very basic level. And this is how you change a country, with millions of people engaged. Luckily, with the Tea Party, we are getting there, but it's going to take an awful lot of time to get things the way we want, unfortunately.
Well, Luca, we have the other phenomenal thing happening in the U.S. tomorrow from 12 to 1. 80 cities are participating in a Stand for Religious Freedom that began with the HHS's mandate on the Catholic Church here. So for the first time, and I don't know how long, We are actually going to have Catholics across the country, as well as people from a lot of other different religious philosophies, standing up on this side of the Constitution. And since that is a huge voting block that normally votes Democrat, I'm sure you can imagine how thrilled we are to have them come to basically the Tea Party.
Yeah, well, it's great to know. It's always great to know.
Well, God, I wonder, you know, it would be awesome if they had a way for those of us that can't come to have a virtual stand with them. I wonder if there's a Facebook page that we can like and say we support that. I know I've seen it.
Send you the link. There is a Facebook page. There is a Facebook page. I will send you the link, and I think that's a great idea.
Okay, we will repost that. Well, you know, I just really thank God. I know we're almost out of time again. God is so good. We've got such great guests, Miss Barbara. But I think as in the beginning when Dawn first started out, Luca, she was just really encouraging us with her remarks about Judge Roy Moore and how much, you know, you could tell that meant a lot to Dawn. And Dawn, you know, I love Judge Moore's speech because when he was talking, he said, you know how much of special interest money he took in. Do you remember that, Miss Barbara?
Yeah, he took in zero.
Zero.
Woohoo!
and Diana, I think Luca and Don would both like to hear this information. His campaign for Chief Justice in the primary, they only spent $220,000 versus millions by others.
Wow. Wow.
That's the way of the future. That's the way of the future. The politics will have to rely on, you know, very active citizens that get involved and get the job done. Because if you rely too much on donations, you know, there is always going to be someone that is going to come with a very big check and say, well, I really like what you're saying, and I will help you. And obviously, they will come back when you get in office, and they will ask for favors. And if you accept that, you really can't say no. And this used to be, I studied that a lot the last few years. How can you just escape this? And all the case studies that we did in order to find solutions to this enormous problem that in America is much more visible because the legislative system is pretty much transparent. So, there are ways to just hide the donations and stuff like the unions are doing or big corporations are doing. But pretty much you are forced by the law to declare who is giving you money. So the voters actually know, well, which side you stand on certain issues because you have to declare exactly whose money are you accepting. But in the rest of the world, this it's not like these things are not happening. They're happening. But it's just that people don't know it. So you don't know if your candidate is accepting money from special interest because it's pretty much outside of the law and everything is very gray. And so pretty much sometimes you just go to the voting booth and you don't know exactly who are you voting for because there is no information. In America, luckily, you have that information. So if you are a concerned citizen, if you are someone who actually takes his job as a voter very seriously, you have the chance to inform yourself. But pretty much the only way we could figure about how to just snap out of this vicious circle of donations and favors and special interests was that, having a lot of people involved in the campaign and, you know, having not needing as much money as a regular political campaign. And we used to say 10 years ago that, that would be lovely, but we will never have this kind of numbers. There will never be enough concerned citizens that are willing to devote their time, their free time, and their money to just help a candidate. Right now in America, we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it everywhere. And so this is amazing. Every time I look at it, it's amazing.
One of the things that, you know, was done here in Alabama and that, you know, I was really just, we were a part of, me and Miss Barbara, was what's called a sine wave. I don't know if you happen to see that, Luca, Don. I don't know if you happen to see the video that we did of our sine wave. But it was really, you know, inexpensive.
expensive. It's where people would come together, and we just, you know, we had our homemade signs, and we just stood on the side of the road, you know, and Ms. Barbara, it was really incredible because, unfortunately, a lot of people still did not know there was an election going on. A lot of people still didn't know some of the names of these candidates. And so it was just a simple way of, well, advertising, I guess. And Ms. Barbara, what are your thoughts in regard to that?
Well, you know, yeah, I am thrilled with the creativity that is coming forth. Was mentioned about the comparison to the Greek tragedy and how they're dressing up in Roman togas. And, you know, people are doing all sorts of things because God gave us these wonderfully creative minds that can, and I'm expecting a whole lot more of creativity in the coming months. But, Luca, you mentioned about charismatic leaders, and, you know, we have been praying. We believe that God is extending your territory. And I've just noticed some of your strengths, and I know that Don and Diana will agree with this, but one of your great strengths, I think, as a spokesperson is your sense of humor. You know, people listen so much better when there is humor in it, and also we're able to see ourselves in a softer way when humor is used, and that is truly one of your great strengths. And you're able to articulate the issues going from the abstract to the concrete and practical, and that's a real gift as well. But the breadth of your knowledge. I'm amazed at the breadth of your knowledge and and that you are so able to effectively communicate with others. But your humility and your knowledge and respect that it is in the hands of the people, and it made me think when you were talking about the people, and it is the people, but God will raise up those to speak for the people as well, and you are one of those men that God is raising up. But it reminded me too of what one of the comments that George Washington made in his farewell address, and this is a man who remained humble to the end of his days because he spent every day. He had time with the Lord, and he had time in God's Word, and he was able to have such good judgment, and he recognized the strength of the people. But he said, into the hands of the American people is entrusted the sacred fire of liberty, the sacred fire of liberty, and the Republican model, but into the hands of the American people. So, you know, I hear you saying that as you're talking about what's going on, that you do recognize it is into the hands of the people, and you recognize that. And anyway, I just wanted to commend you and tell you how much we appreciate you. And we pray for God to continually enlarge your territory and set out your tent pegs further, extend them.
And now what you want me to say, obviously this is extremely flattering. I don't think it's really justified, but, you know, I'm just doing my small part. As I'm saying everywhere I go, I'm just a Tea Partier. I'm a member of this amazing movement, and I'm doing my part. My part is trying to speak to people and trying to change their minds one at a time. And every single time there are people there saying, oh, look at this really, really cool shortcut. I'm the one that has to go there and tell them, no, there are no shortcuts. We have to do it the hard way. We have to do it one by one, one by one. There is no shortcuts. If you think, if we get a lot of money, maybe we can make this wonderful new clip, and we will send it to the TVs and stuff, and I say, I don't really like it. You know, it's much better if we organize 10 more rallies and if you organize 20 more groups in cities, so that at the very basic level we can have people on the ground, boots on the ground, and we can go in every town council, in every town hall, and say, we're here, you're seeing us, we are here, and we're watching. We are watching you. This is the Tea Party model, and we're trying to just make it happen all over the world. And every single time they ask us, because right now it's amazing. It seems like yesterday, But we've been going on in Italy since June of 2011. So it's more than, it's actually it's 2010 or something like that. I'm getting confused. I think it's 2010, something like that. Yeah, because, back last year I wasn't here, so it's 2010. So it's more than, it's almost 2 years we have been doing this. And when I look back, I see that, nothing has happened because I wanted things to move so much quicker. I'm just always thinking of myself, I should have done more, I could have done more. But when I look back sometimes and I'm saying, we were just 80 people at the first tea party. Then we had the meeting in Milan, and it was almost 1,000 people. And then now we have, our proposal for a tax cut on the property tax on houses. It's been discussed in 200, 300 maybe towns in Italy, towns and cities.
Wow.
And everybody's talking. And my colleague, the spokesman, the Italian spokesman, because I'm just for the for the English speaking for abroad, the international version. But the Italian spokesman, Giacomo Zucco, is a really, really, really nice guy. He's really articulate, really smart. And he's only 28 or 30, I think, something like that. But he was blessed with, the gift of being able to be very concise and being able to just use as much camera time on television as he gets and being very effective. I will not be able to do that. You know me. I'm just, I talk. I'm all over the place. I'm not exactly camera friendly because on television you get 30 seconds to convey the message. I'm not very good at it. That's why I stepped aside. I said, you can do it much better than me. And he's doing that. And he's on television, national television. Not really a lot, but it's getting there. One at a time. And local televisions are just giving space to Tea Party leaders in the regions. So when we look back, we see, we've come a long way. But we see that the objective is so far ahead. And we don't want to get cocky. We just think, slave to the grindstone. You just do your job one step at a time, one person at a time, and one rally at a time. Make it. And we hope that, April the 14th to the 17th, we're going to have at least 25 rallies around the nation, just in Italy. And it's going to be difficult, but a lot of people are working on that, and we want to make it happen, just to show to the media and to people around the world that it's not just a bunch of guys that just went there once. We are a reality. We have groups in every city, not in every city because there are some parts of the country where we are not able to go there, but we want to just show to everyone that we are learning the lesson of the American Tea Party, that we need to be local and that we need to just care about very issues that are very near to the interest of every taxpayer because it's next door. This is the thing that we are doing. And so it was really, really nice of you to just make all these compliments and stuff, but I'm just thinking of myself as a very small part in a very big game, and hopefully that will get to more freedom for everyone on this planet. And I'm just doing my small part, actually.
Well, that's all our founding fathers were doing also, Luca.
Oh, yeah, you're right, but, You never think of yourself because if you start thinking that,
I know you shouldn't. You shouldn't absolutely. I would be shocked if you did. So, but we just do our duty. We just do what we're supposed to do, and the results are the Lord's.
Were it not for God, I just think I'm so thankful for the little seeds that God planted in the hearts of many. And I see that in Don, and I see that in Luca, Miss Barbara. He said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, right, move mountains. And I'm seeing mountains move and just not in one country alone, the United States of America, but all over the world. How good of God. And so we're past our time, but, of course, we can have more. But I know Miss Barbara's got to go, but I'm so grateful to have these folks as our friends, Barbara.
Yes.
How How gracious of God for such a time as this to help us unite. And, you know, Luke is way over there in England and Europe, and Don, you're way far away from us in California. But how good of God to help us unite, and we can lift our concerns to Him and unite in prayer. And that's one of the things that I think was key in our state of Alabama. I know people kid about Alabama sometimes, you know. We do get in the Word a lot. I like to think that we do. And you know what, Miss Barbara? That Word did not fail us. You know, it shone brightly. When Judge Moore spoke, people listened because there is a yearning for truth. And he spoke it so eloquently. And I never get tired of hearing that truth come out of Judge Moore's mouth, just like with Don and Luca here. And I know we need to close the show, so I'm going to ask our dear friend, Don, would you mind closing us in prayer? And I know you're going to lift Luca and all those nations in that upcoming Tea Party also.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for all the blessings we see before us, the continued support, the continued faith rising in people, not just in this country, but other countries, the continued belief that we see that really the governed are better at governing than those that we would enlist to do the job for us. Please continue to watch over us and continue to give us the strength and the wisdom to speak eloquently in times when we feel like we don't have that ability, to give us the ability to continue to reach out to each other and have a worldwide coalition of Tea Party folks. Please continue to protect us against those that would do us harm and allow us to see through the sheep's clothing who the wolves are. Please allow us to continue to help all that comes out of your word, your name, your path, and for us to see that that's what it is. Please help us to look at your will and follow your will instead of our own. I think a lot of us struggle with that, especially at a time like this. But mostly I just want to say, you know, thank you for all the blessings that we see around us. It really is an awakening, and it is not just in this country, in other countries, and that's what's going to truly change. So we ask for all these things in His name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, well, thank you all so much. And Luca, I'm going to give you the last word, if you don't mind, to close this.
Yeah, we'll close it. And I will just say that if you go to all your tax day event, just a thought that there are people, there are thousands of people, well, let's hope tens of thousands of people, that in the same hours around the world in a very different reality, they're going to do exactly what you're doing. You're not alone in this fight. We are not alone. United we stand across the seas, always, for freedom, liberty, and truth. And so, well, I just think that I'd like to think of these 3 days as a worldwide tea party. That is one tea party that is going to happen all over the world, and it's going to say exactly the same thing. And I'm sure that it's going to go from our mouth to God's ear, because He is in charge, He is our Lord, and He will make things happen. So God bless you all, and go there, and let's make it happen.
Thank you. And John, if you don't mind, Don, I'm sorry, mention that again, that event that we need to be, you know, getting together and supporting tomorrow in our state.
It's called the Stand Up for Religious Freedom, and there are 140 cities that are taking part tomorrow. I just sent you the link to the Facebook, and that will get people to be able to find the rallies in their cities. But this is, you know, we're standing up for the First Amendment and for the thing that one of the biggest impetuses of coming to this country and founding this country was to be able to freely express and practice one's religious beliefs. So if people come out, that would be fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, Ms. Barbara, as always, you know, we just thank God for the blessings of these two. And we ask that, you know, people tune in tomorrow. We're going to have Neil Mammon. Anybody wants to come on the show? Neil Mammon has written a book, Jesus is Involved in Politics Too, and Don, I know you are very excited about him. So come join
Absolutely.
Us. And he is just a fired up guy. Anyway, just like Luca. Luca, God bless you, and Don and Miss Barbara, we'll see you again tomorrow. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on City
Thank
on
you.
A Hill. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you all. Bye.
Bye-bye.